Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
This day is known often as Good Shepherd Sunday. We have that very comforting song that we just read together, "The Lord is my shepherd." An image of hymnody that goes back probably almost 3,000 years, and a sense in which something is very important in the tradition about shepherds. So to revisit that briefly with you all, we have to remember that the very foundation, the ancient patriarchs who were the progenitors of the Israelites, were themselves shepherds. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were not city dwellers or urbanites like you and me. They were people who lived out in the country and went where the food and the water was with their flocks and their herds. So that very early primordial understanding of what it meant to lead, to gather, and to protect was centered on the vocation of being a shepherd. We get later in the tradition, and in the tradition that we revisited, especially during Easter, and that, of course, is the tradition of the Exodus. And if you remember the story, Moses does not first meet God while in Egypt, in the city, or in the palace. You remember where Moses meets God? Where does Moses meet God for the first time?
On the mountain.
On the mountain. In the burning bush, right? Do you remember what he's doing, why he's there? He's herding sheep for his father-in-law, Jethro. Moses is being a shepherd when he is called to be a shepherd for God's people. And he takes up that symbol of the shepherd. He takes up a staff, right? He takes up a staff to show God's power. But it's very important to remember in the story of the Exodus, as the people are led on dry ground across the Red Sea, and even before that, Moses is not the first person, if you like, leading them. God is. In the pillar of cloud by day, and in the pillar of fire by night. So then, from very early times, we have shepherds leading shepherds, and the good shepherd is God, as we translated into the psalm today, the Lord. The Gospel of John then takes this up and weaves it together with the deep mysticism that John wants to impart to us. And Jesus is using this language quite deliberately. I am, he says, the good shepherd. I am is the same name that God uses when God greets Moses from the burning bush. In fact, Yahweh, the ancient name of God in the tradition of the Israelites, means I am who I am and I will be who I will be. Which I think is meant to frighten us a little bit. God is going to be God, no matter what we do. But then, that is what good shepherds do, right? They remain good and faithful, even when we're wandering around like wayward sheep. I don't know about you, I do that fairly often. But that image is so compelling, and Jesus even talks about, as typical in John's gospel, through way of contrast, how the good shepherd is not like the hired hand. The good shepherd is willing to confront danger and put his life down for the sheep. That's how invested the shepherd is in the life of the sheep. That image of the good shepherd, by the way, comes up over and over and over again in the Hebrew Scriptures and later in the New Testament and in the church. We hear about faithful shepherds who come after Moses. They were called judges. And some of them were women, I should hasten to add. Think of Deborah, the great judge, a faithful shepherd for her people. We have the story of Esther, who is a faithful shepherd for her people, even while they are in exile. She helps uncover a plot against the Hebrew people and saves them. A faithful shepherd. We have the prophets, of course, beginning with Samuel, who are faithful shepherds. And then there's this great debate in the Hebrew Scriptures about who among the kings are faithful shepherds. You remember the story of the calling of King David, right? Samuel, the prophet, a faithful shepherd, goes to Bethlehem to seek the next faithful shepherd of God's people, the next king. And he goes to the house of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who lines up all his sons. And Samuel goes from one son to the next son to the next son. He says, surely this is the one. And God says, nope. And then he runs out of sons. And he turns to Jesse and he says, are there any more? And you almost get the sense that Jesse kind of shrugs his shoulders. He says, well, there's the youngest, but he's out. What is he doing? Shepherding. So David then is that model again of the good shepherd, and his son Solomon is remembered as well as a good shepherd. Not all the kings are remembered quite that way. And then there are the other prophets who come along who are faithful shepherds for God's people. Elijah, for instance. Elisha, who follows after him. Jeremiah, who is a faithful shepherd in a faithless and world-ending time, and gets punished for it. Or the apocalyptic shepherd, Daniel, who shows what it means to remain faithful, even when it means getting thrown into the lions or being put into the oven. Now, there's a wonderful New Testament image of a good shepherd that's right here with us in the room. And somebody pointed it out this morning during the 8 o'clock service, and I hadn't noticed it before, but it's right up here in the nativity window. See? What is Joseph doing? He was a carpenter, not a shepherd. And yet he has a shepherd's staff. Right? Do you remember the story of Joseph being the faithful and good shepherd? It's when Jesus' life, along with the life of all the firstborns of Bethlehem, are threatened in the Gospel of Matthew. Joseph, through a dream, faithfully shepherds his family to safety, ironically enough, in Egypt. And then, of course, in our tradition, we have shepherds. And who embodies the Good Shepherd, or is an icon of the Good Shepherd for us? Real people. I mean, Jesus, yes, of course, but...
The bishop.
The bishop. The bishop carries a shepherd's staff. It's our own Bishop Mark who has reminded us that bishops, like priests and deacons, are actually meant to be icons of ministry for all the people. Deacons as icons of service one to another. Priests as icons of sacrificial ministry and pastoral care. Of course, that word pastor comes from tending the sheep. And then the bishop as the leader and overseer, carrying that staff, helping keep the flock together. But that image is given not just for clergy, it's given for all of us. For we are reminded that we are meant to be good shepherds for one another. So I invite you this week to ask yourself and pray over who is in your flock as a good shepherd. Who are you good shepherds? That letter from John tells us what it means to be good shepherds. It means to love and care for one another in truth and in action, as he puts it. Somebody at the 8 o'clock today wondered, well, what does it mean to be a good shepherd for somebody who's on the street asking for something or needing something? Sometimes we have nothing tangible to give, like money or food, but what would it mean to greet that person and acknowledge their humanity, their dignity? Because so much of living on the street is about being invisible, isn't it? Isn't that an example of being a lost sheep among us? What does it mean to shepherd a stranger like that? What does it mean as we shepherd our families? Here in Mill Valley, we're good at shepherding dogs, aren't we? We even joke about shepherding cats. I steer clear of that word, herd, as much as I can. Who is it that we are called to shepherd? And this weekend, as we remember Earth Day, how is it we are called to shepherd the earth back to safety? To make it a safe place for future generations. The good news is that the tradition has told us over and over and over again, so often, in fact, we can hardly hear it anymore, that even those of us who are called in various ways to shepherd others have a shepherd ourselves. The Good Shepherd, God in Christ, standing among us, showing us the way.
Thank you for listening to this sermon podcast from the Episcopal Church of Our Savior, Mill Valley, California. We are a growing community welcoming those seeking to deepen their relationship with God and to journey in faith with God's people through the breaking of bread and in service to others in Christ's name. You may reach us by phone at 415-388-1907, search for us online, or visit our website at oursaviormillvalley.org. We wish you God's peace. We hope to greet you in person very soon.